Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hi folks, how you doing? I hope you're all well. I hope some of you have managed to enjoy what feels like a little bit of summer. I am actually, as we speak, in Portugal and looking out at the most beautiful dusky skies. The sun is setting and the sound of crickets and birds and dogs barking in the background. It's really lovely to hear different sounds when you're in different parts of the world. That kind of wind down of the day. I'm sorry this is coming to you slightly late. It's totally my fault in the fact that I wasn't quite sure I was going to be able to record the voiceover for this week's episode at a water park. Not sure I was going to find a quiet corner to be able to do that. Because we are the podcast that never sleeps. No matter where we are, what's going on in the world, we try our damnedest to make sure that we are bringing you a brand new episode. And our latest guest on Soundtracking is the fantastic Andrew Onwubolu, better known as Rapman. He's the creator, writer and director, basically the showrunner of the smash Netflix hit Supercell. Set in modern day South London, the series is about a group of five ordinary black people unified by family history of sickle cell disease. And they unexpectedly develop superpowers and being pursued by a secret organisation who intend to control them. I thought this was fantastic. It's been up on Netflix for a while. I did my interview with Andrew a little while ago, but I wanted to give you guys the chance to see the show first, to kind of get it, really kind of get into it and get an understanding of it, because we go into kind of places where there are a few spoilers and things, and particularly with the music, there are things that we reveal that it would be a shame to tell you about before you've had the chance to see the show. I also thought the show was a real breath of fresh air when it comes to kind of superhero, superpower stories. It felt like so real and accessible and within kind of touching distance. And I think that's one of the brilliant things that Andrew's done with this. Now, I mentioned the various roles Rapman has on the series, to which I should add music, as he worked very closely on the score with Silky. And we'll begin with Silky's cue, Rodney's Powers. Oh my God. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm just excited, ready, you know, ready and waiting.
Well, listen, first of all, thank you for jumping on so early the morning after the cast and crew screening as well. So much appreciation.
No worries, man. Thank you for having me.
Listen, just before we get into Supercell as well, I never got the chance to say this, you know, a few years ago now, but Blue Story was an absolutely brilliant and powerful and beautiful film, so huge congratulations on that. It was a very special moment, not for many reasons, but being introduced to the talents of Michael Ward within that as well was a lovely gift.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that, man, and it never gets old to hear a compliment about Blue Story. That's the reason why I'm sitting here today. Honestly, like, they came, Netflix saw the movie, they came to the premiere, and they were just like, okay, we want to be in the Rapman business. And we're like, oh.
Did you already have the idea then? Was Supercell already in some kind of like gestation in your brain, in your head, you know, or already on paper by that point?
Nothing on paper, but there was, I was doing promotion for the booth, for the movie. The promotion piece we was doing, it was the cast interview. We was all interviewing each other, me and the cast. And I got asked, what are you going to do next? Like, what are you always going to do this journey? I said, I don't mind the journey, but I want to do a sci-fi version. And I started talking about Supercell. Before it was called Supercell, it was just this idea of normal people with powers that do normal things. Yeah, I spoke it out for the first time, 2019, then they started writing it in the lockdown.
Sometimes you've got to manifest things by saying them out loud. It almost kind of gives you, when you hear it being said out loud, it gives you the, not confidence, but kind of like, yeah, this could work.
Yeah, and then literally from there, I started writing it, and I started writing it from 2020 and didn't stop until it was finished.
Wow. It's so brilliant. It's so many things. And what I love about it is that love is at the real core of so much of this story. You know, these kind of characters are all protecting something or someone they love in a way. And that's kind of almost the manifestation of these powers and kind of where it kind of comes from in a way. But for you, your relationship with kind of that genre of superheroes goes way back, doesn't it? You've been a big, big fan of that superhero sci-fi genre since you were a kid.
Yeah, I used to love the Batman. That's the first Batman I was introduced to. I used to love that with Batman and Robin. Then when the movie started coming years and years later, I was really excited about that. I always loved the thought of having powers. You know, it was always just like growing up in the background that I did. You just wanted any sort of power, so you could be more than what you were. So powers was like an escape. I loved the genre, but I just never felt it spoke to reality of just what any normal person would do if they got powers. Like, I'm not thinking if I get powers today, I'm going to get a spandex suit, get a mask, and then try to stop falling down somewhere around the world. I'm thinking, okay, how can I get further in my career, help my family out and myself financially, sort out us first, and then let's talk about the charity we could do for others. But it seems that for some reason we've been told the same story. You get powers, you save the world. You get powers, you save the world. And I understand great powers comes with great responsibility. But if you get powers, your problems don't all suddenly just change. And that's what I like about the show. You know, they don't just get better. The problems are still there. If anything, they get worse.
Well, it's that idea, like that kind of thing of starting off small. You know, starting off with the things and the people that are closest to you. And then, you know, once you've got the heart of your kind of community or house in order, then it's kind of looking at the bigger picture.
Exactly that.
I loved you referencing, I saw that you'd referenced Heroes as being something as well, because I feel like that was kind of, I literally could not get enough of that show when it originally came out. I felt like it was like something really different. It was kind of not totally in your kind of idea of kind of normal people, and there still was an element of that kind of elevation of superheroes, but I feel like that was a great show. It was really different, wasn't it? It kind of really stood out.
I loved Heroes. That was a massive inspiration for Supercell, because it was the only thing I could think about that got closest to my vision of what people would do with powers. There was no capes and costumes in that. They were normal people, especially the first two seasons. But I still felt it was a bit, as you say, it was a bit heightened. So I loved the show, massive fan. But I always knew if I could ever get into a position to tell a version of a story with people with powers, I want it to be a lot more grounded. I want it to be a lot more about the people than the powers, you know. And I think in Heroes, as much as I loved it, the powers would play a bit more of a part, because you didn't know their personal struggles as much. You just knew that this power was coming and people was chasing them because of it. Whereas with Supercell, it's more about the people, and the threat is simmering, but it's not the primary focus at the moment. It's more about how it affects their lives and what their day-to-day is.
Where did you start? What was the starting point for you in terms of the idea of writing something like this that was episodic, that involved a number of characters, that it was absolutely steeped in reality and real life, but then having that element that would come in terms of navigating how you wrote that? Talk to me a little bit about the kind of creation of the characters and the story and how that worked for you.
Well, first of all, when I started writing it, I wanted it to be a movie. But when it just didn't fit in, it didn't fit into the 2-hour window, I suppose you can call it. And I realised it had to be a series. And I've never written TV before, but I've done episodic things on YouTube. So I thought, okay, I can do it. But then the breaking it, then it's kind of like, I would take walks in lockdown with me and my son. He was young, he was about 9 at the time, because you could only really take walks. And we was first thing I was like, okay, what type of powers would we want to have in this show? So I thought, all the powers, you see, my favourite powers. you know, telepathy, strength, speed. And then it was kind of like, okay, what type of characters should have these powers? Like, who are going to be the heroes? Is it one person? So we broke down, so we went down the powers first, then we went to the characters. So we had our people, we had powers, and then it was like, okay, what's the story? Why are we going to care about what they're doing? Why should we care about these powers? What's the difference between these guys and Superman and Spider-Man? And it was just make them normal. It was just a process, man. It was like months focusing on the characters, months focusing on the powers, months focusing on the plot and the story. It was a long process. It was deep because the writers, we had two writers' rooms at first.
Yeah.
And one writer's room that failed, in the sense of not failed because they weren't great writers, but the process didn't work with the story I was trying to tell. We got another group of writers, great writers, still just wasn't given that South London story. It was hard to, I don't know if I was explaining it well enough for them to be able to write it. I suppose if you're not from South London, it's hard to explain what I want from it. So I remember just thinking, okay, so two writers' rooms have failed. I just had a green light lost on my last movie that I was doing with Russell Crowe. And it's looking like I could lose this potential green light on this series because I give it to Netflix. They were really patient. Two writers' rooms failed and no great scripts have come out of it. A lot of networks will probably be like, we tried. Can't say we didn't try. Good luck for your career. But there's that, look, we still very positive that there's something here.
Right. Amazing.
What can we do if the writers ain't working? So I said, you know what, I'll just write myself. And I said that in a way, hoping that they were going to push back and be like, no, you've never written TV before. I'm going to write myself. And they looked at each other and said, great, we love that. Okay, let us know when you've got something for us to see. I was like, oh my gosh, I've just committed to write every single episode of a series and I've never written TV. It was a hard year for me because I was literally writing 6 days a week, every single day, and they would get a script every fortnight. No, it's not really. Getting better. Oh, it's nearly there. We really like this one. And it was such trial and error because I'm writing and sending. Came so much. I was doing too much for them. It was like, we need the chance to read it, right? You've got to give us a minute. And then eventually, once I got like 50 drafts of episode one, maybe 50 drafts of that, because the pilot's always the most important to the networks.
Yeah.
And then from there on, once you kind of get one in a way where they're happy, it gets easier because you're in the zone. Because I've been writing nonstop every single day for months. I'm just in that writing zone now. Like, all I'm doing is writing. I'm not watching anything. Well, I'm just writing. So it was a hard process, though, because you're getting six set of notes. You do one movie, you get one batch of notes. I feel like I've got six movie worth of notes. And it was just like, is it ever ready? And you know it's actually never ready because you're right. I remember shooting on set, going home, and having to do a rewrite of a scene for tomorrow because there was a problem that they thought this doesn't make sense, this is not working or whatever. So it actually never ends. It never ends.
Wow. You're
right until the day, yeah.
So congratulations, mate.
Thank you, congratulations.
That's like, but that's also really, I don't know, encouraging to hear that, you know, like you say, like a big streamer like Netflix has got the patience and the belief in you that they're encouraging you, you know, keep at it, go back, you know, in terms of that. I think a lot of people's ideas of something like that would be, you know, if it's not right the first time, then let's move on sort of thing. But that's really encouraging.
That's a big credit to the commissioners. They loved the idea. They understood the concept and it wasn't something they wanted to just, they didn't want to give up on it early. They was like, just give it a try. I think if I would have came back with a bad script on my first try, I think they would have had to close the door. Yeah, they stuck in there, man. So I've got a lot of admiration for them for that.
I also love the fact and that idea of you and your son on walks coming up with the ideas for this. That is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
So lovely.
That's why when you see the Andre storyline with his son, it's kind of like a reflection of just me in general as a dad trying to make sure I keep my kids on the right track. So, that was good. Like, there wasn't really much to do in lockdown. So those walks were like, okay, you've got these ideas now. I'm going to go in. We're going to start writing. So it was fun. It was a fun time when I think about it for that creativity part of it anyway.
It's also lovely as well because, you know, I've got two boys myself. That idea that they almost keep you childlike. They remind you to be childlike and they remind you of those things that you loved as a child, whether it be superhero movies or the powers that you use, all that kind of stuff. It's so lovely to have that person that can encourage you to do that.
Yeah, no, it is, man. My kids definitely keep me on the go, and it was a fun process creating it with him just briefly as we're walking, and those were memories that he's always gonna have and I'm always gonna have.
Yeah, lovely. Now, listen, just before we get on to music, which is such a big part of the show, and obviously, you know, it's such a big part of your world. I imagine one of the brilliant, going back to that almost childlike thing as well for you, is within the show is creating those kind of big moments. You know, this is a big show. This is kind of London like we've never seen it. And I love that you've done that, you know, but these kind of big stunts and all that, it's kind of like, it's so exciting. Was that a big moment for you in terms of creating those and directing those and seeing those coming to life?
I remember when one day I came to set to shoot, I don't know, at the end of the pilot, you see all our characters in Piccadilly, it's like them in the future. And I remember coming on set and walking on, and it's 30-foot, 360 green screen, all the road on the floor, they built the whole floor of Piccadilly. And I remember thinking, this is crazy. How did it go from inside here, be looking up at 360 green screen? This is my first day shooting on green screen in my life. I've never shot on green screen before Supercell. So I was like, I just felt overwhelmed. And then seeing the cranes rise up, the Sabrina to do her flying, and then the crane to bring in the car for Andre to lift it. I was like, how did it get here? Like, this was mad for me to film on YouTube. So it was a surreal moment. And learning all them stunts, it was really like a film school. As I was saying to someone yesterday, I feel like the process of Supercell kind of was like my film school. And that's what it was like. It was like 4 years of going through every stage of how to make a movie, how to tell a story visually. And that's what it was.
Man, it's so great. It really is. And it's like, and the music, like I said, you know, talk to me a little bit about when you were writing it. And, you know, also just the idea that you've got so many jobs on this show, you know, in terms of what you've done. And music's also a part of your life, but is it hard to almost kind of pass that on to, you obviously have clear ideas about what you want, but passing that on to other people? And who was the right people to work with on this? And when you started thinking about how music would sit, both in terms of diegetically within the narrative, but also that kind of score element to it as well?
The music was, it actually got tricky because we went through a few different composers, like, not because they weren't all great. It was just hard to find a sound that I felt represented the show. So we got a version. We just had a new composer in, and I had a version of the score that we worked up together for the first couple of episodes. And I had a screening, very rough, no VFX, for with two filmmaker friends of mine, just to see, like, give me a gist of your thoughts of it. And I did not to watch the music, just to see what they thought of the show. They watched it and they had their compliments and had their critiques and them, but they said one thing. They said, bro, that music ain't you. That music ain't you, because it was a very traditional score. And I was like, yeah, but you know, it's traditional. It's like Hans Zimmer. And they was like, bro, that's your rap, man. Like, the show is rap, man. You watch this show, you see all your personality, you see all your attitude, you see your South London, and the music just don't sound. And I was like, so I remember calling up Netflix like the next day, like, I need somebody else. And they're just like, you just got this person. And I'm like, I know, but he's not the right person. He's great at what he does, but for what I need, that's not in his toolbox. Got a new person in, and I said, I want it to feel like the show. The show's an all-black cast, high-end television show and sci-fi, and their powers are set on something meaningful. I want a sound that feels like that. Give me something African tribal. So we started thinking African tribal drum sounds, and it's kind of like it comes from the ancestors, and we finally got into a rhythm with it. Became like a unique piece, man. And the thing with Netflix, because I came from a musical background, there was a lot of pressure on me from them when they was like, we want the music to be unique. We want the music to be unique. Like, that's part of the reason we got you. We want the music to be unique. I was like, okay. So, that took a long... That was probably the process that took... After the VFX, that took a long time. That took a lot of work. We had to hand it in by a certain time. But the music, you can't rush it. It's not ready, so I can't rush the music. There's nothing I can do about it. You just have to be patient with that. What we need to upload it. I'm like, I understand that, but I can't rush the music. It was a long process, and the guy, my composer I ended up with, he's a new guy called Silky. Silky, yeah, he done really well, man. And it was just he really got into my mind of what I wanted to do, and we went back and forth on loads of different sounds and different instruments. We done the live recordings for it. We had the choirs to do some of the harmonies. Happy with where it landed, man. And obviously on top of that, we had a lot of the soundtrack was of sort of music. And the thing with that, I wanted the music to be a true representation of what it's like to live in South London. So when you hear the Caribbean music in the house parties, that's what the kids are dancing to when they go to house parties, with that and the rap. And then when you hear certain songs, like you could just see, I don't know, you'll see Michael in the street delivering a parcel, but you're hearing drum and bass in the car driving past him in the traffic, because that's London. Windows are down and people are pumping their music. Yeah. And what I wanted it to be, anyone watching this show from America, Africa, or some other parts of Europe, to say, oh, so that's what London's like. Like, you want to know what London's like, watch Supercell. Take away the superpowers, that is exactly day-to-day, especially the black experiences of living in London. And we just wanted music to kind of match on that. And I think we done that. A lot of the artists are from South London that have got music on there. Mm-hmm. It was very intricate situation. That wasn't something we could rush, and it was something that was getting us into trouble in the sense of, we're going to be late with this. We're going to be late with this. I can't rush a painting. You can't rush a painting being painted. Like, you can't rush it. What do you want me to do? You saying I'm going to be late doesn't make it come faster. We have to sit and create. The same way I have to think and create the script, same way I have to direct it, I have to think, what is the next step for this? It has to progress. So they understood. And we took it serious, and I hope that people realise how unique the score is.
Let's talk about Getz.
Oof, yeah, it's my guy. Getz, man. You know, it's funny, like, he auditioned. He told me his technique was to learn the lines. When he got the audition, he ripped all the lines out, him and who he's speaking to, all of them in the studio, and then played them to himself every single night up until the audition, so they're stuck in his head. So then when he came to the audition, he just had it down. And he was honestly like, I don't know if you saw what episode, you've probably seen up to four. When you finish the season and you see Getz's progression as an actor in it, I think he's about to go on a whole other career path.
You seem to have a bit of a knack of that, to be honest, of kind of seeing potential in people and giving them the opportunity to kind of fly.
Yeah, I do love breaking new talent. I love giving people opportunities. Like, even if you saw Digger D inside there, he was very adamant that he wanted his debut to be in Supercell and to be with me as an actor. Yeah, man, I'm hoping that these guys have their career and I can say, yeah, but I put them in their first film properly. So, yeah, man, Getz really took it serious as well. They all did.
Well, they want to do it right for you, don't they, as well? That's the whole point. You're giving them the chance, but they want to make sure that they're kind of, you know, bringing their A game when it comes to what they're doing.
Yeah, no, they definitely didn't want to let me down. They didn't want to let themselves down. They didn't want to let the other crew members down. Like, even though they're big rappers in their field, they didn't disrespect the actors. Well, I'm a superstar here. I can do what they want. They was studying off the actors that have been training all their lives for these roles and trying to keep up with them and not drag down the scene. So that was nice for them. And it's good, man. I think people are going to... No one knows that Digger D or Getz are in here. We released a trailer in a couple of weeks where we revealed them both. So I know for a lot of their fans, they're going to be really excited to see their favourite rappers in this show.
Was there kind of a lot of offering up of like, oh, I'll do music for you, I'll do this, you know, in terms of them bringing that side of it to the production in a way, you know, in terms of, yeah.
It's mad because we needed Digger to have a diss song for the Tower Boys, for the characters. He was keen. But what I realised, they wanted it to be separate. They didn't want to be known as the rappers in there. They wasn't keen to put
like
their songs
that.
In. They was just like, no, I don't want to be... I don't want you to think of Diggity. I don't want you to think of Getz. I just want you to think of me with my character. Like, just... So they wasn't keen. They didn't want this to be they didn't want you to be remembered as a rapper in this. So, and that both of them was like that, which was weird. So, when I think about it, it's funny because even when I watch, Top Boy, I never heard any Kano songs. Right, the whole season, I don't think I heard any Kano song. And I think it's you just want, and that's the reason why I never put a Getz song in the show. Because I don't want you to start thinking Getz, the talented MC. I wanted you to see him as crazy, a psychopath, flipping sociopath person who doesn't think straight. So I'd say they wasn't. Soundtracks, they were fine after the show, and it's not going to be in the show. But for the show, they wasn't keen to be Blur the Lines.
Mentioning Kano as well, I thought he was absolutely amazing in the kitchen. Oh my God, absolutely phenomenal. And that, I thought he did such a great job.
Yeah, so good. A strong actor,
man. Oh my God, yeah. Listen, I'm so excited for people to see this, and I can't wait to see the last couple of episodes. And I hope there's more.
So do I. that makes two of us. Hopefully, if season one comes out and people take to it, I'm sure Netflix will do what's right for the people.
I hope so. I think it's really, you've done something really brilliant in terms of, you know, you've been so, I don't know what the word is, but you've been so passionate about this, your community, you know, in terms of South London and really representing that on screen. But I feel like the way that you've done it and the scale that you've done it has this huge worldwide appeal of kind of, you're showing that community in such a different way that's never been seen before, but it's so entertaining and so exciting. I think you've done an amazing job.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
From The Score to Supercell, that's Michael Graveyard by Silky, rounding off this latest episode of Soundtracking with Rapman. My huge thanks to Andrew for taking the time to chat to me, and also the team at Netflix for sorting that out. Season one of Supercell is streaming now on Netflix, and I, for one, very much hoping there's going to be more. Head to edithbowman.com to catch up with all of our previous episodes on the podcast, and please do follow us on our socials. We're at Soundtracking UK. We also have a YouTube channel for you to subscribe to called Soundtracking Extra. Join me next week for another episode into the wonderful world and minds of music and film. I very much look forward to the pleasure of your company then. Thank you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.